The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is paid for by Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, who is solely responsible for its content. Portions transcribed.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good, thank you. We have with us attorney Michelle O'Brien with the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract.
Thanks for having me again.
Thanks for being here with us. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we review many real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many exceptional realtors who've been advising us and assisting and guiding clients in real estate matters for over 50 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. When you go to jruddy.com, click on the webcam tab and get a live view of Dunmore Corners 24/7. You never know what you're going to see at the corners. Right? Everybody goes, lots of people go, they check the weather, they see what's going on. It could be interesting.
Could be. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, mobile friendly, jruddy.com, and check us out on social media. Okay, attorney Michelle O'Brien, the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. Who are you and what do you do, please?
I'm Michelle O'Brien. I own the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. I practice law in the areas of real estate and business and commercial lending and oil and gas, all things transactional law. And I have my title company where we help people buy and sell homes and businesses and commercial properties.
So when someone hires you as an attorney or Pinnacle Abstract, you do the title search and you provide title insurance.
Absolutely. We can do that.
Okay. And it's always nice. We talked about title insurance in great length last week and title search and clouds on the title and clearing title. It's always good to have an attorney review it.
Absolutely. Because some of those items that come up can be pretty complicated. And as we talked about last week, sometimes they're very old, so they're hard to read sometimes.
And you have to dig deep.
Absolutely.
All right. This week, let's talk about co-ownership, all right?
All right.
There's different terms involving co-ownership, partnerships, joint tenancy, tenants in common. So can you describe the differences?
Well, co-ownership, it sounds like a good idea in the beginning, right? Oh, yeah.
Let's be a co-owner.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
Everyone is always friends when they're buying property, not so much always after that.
I swear to that.
There are several ways to own property with more than one person. So in Pennsylvania, as a married couple, usually, not 100% of the time, but usually a married couple owns real estate, especially a residential primary residence, as tenants by the entireties. Only married couples can own property as what's called tenants by the entireties. It just means husband and wife. What it means is that they own the property as one unit, and if one dies, the other one automatically gets it. If you have, let's say, for example, a mother and a son, or a father and his brother, something like that, two people, usually they're related, but they don't have to be. And they want to own property and they want it similar to maybe like a married couple would be. So they want the other one to inherit it if they pass away. The mom and the daughter own the property. If mom passes away, she wants the daughter to get it automatically. The way you would own property in that situation is called joint tenants with right of survivorship. And that has to be on the deed. It has to say mom and daughter as joint tenants with right of survivorship. Otherwise, it's not going to be that. That's not how it's going to be interpreted.
Now, lots of people do that. saying, you know, when mom dies, there'll be no probate, there'll be nothing, that the house will just go to me. Mm-hmm. But some lawyers have told us that if for an inheritance situation, that's not always the best thing to do, because there could be other variables that could come in. There could be a lawsuit against the son. The son could get divorced. Then they could want a piece of the property. So this can get complicated.
Absolutely, which is, again, why not every situation is as cut and dry, and you should really consult somebody who can tell you all the pros and cons of your very specific situation.
Yes.
There's really no two situations that are exactly the same. And then the third way, and this is the most common way that people own property together, if Jackie, you and I wanted to own a piece of property together, maybe it's commercial, maybe it's residential, whatever it is, if we wanted to own property, we probably don't want it to be that if I die, you get my interest, and if you die, I get your interest. Probably what we want is that we own it together for whatever purpose, and then when I pass away, I want my kids to get it. And so the way that is written in a deed is as tenants in common. So Jackie and Michelle as tenants in common. And what that means is that I can sell my interest, you can sell your interest, and if we pass away, it goes to our individual heirs. Now, no one likes that because, you know, it might be fine. We may continue to be the best of friends until the last minute, but then what happens after it goes to the next generation? None of those people want to be involved in co-ownership of property with people they don't know. So that can also get pretty messy. These ownership situations can be very, very messy sometimes. I do always tread lightly with clients when this is what they really want to do, but I like to point out the situation later. And inevitably, everyone's answer is, no, everything's fine. Our kids all love each other. Everybody gets along. We're gonna be fine. This is how we want to own the property. So that's what we do until 10 years from now, and then I get another call that says, oh, we really don't like this. Get us out of this situation.
Right.
How do you get out of it?
Well, what happens most times is one party or one side buys the other side out, or they sell the property. But that's if everybody can agree on what should be done. We agree to the buyout. We agree to sell the property. What happens if one side doesn't want to and the other side does? That can be a real problem too. What happens, and we had this happen, I've had this happen multiple times, but one in particular that I'm thinking of, we couldn't even find the person. We didn't think he had passed away, but we couldn't locate him to even offer to buy him out. So, you know, in that situation, what do you do? And a lot of times, you know, the last show we did talk about quiet title actions, and that would be a really good situation for a quiet title action, especially if you can't find the person.
Then you need title insurance.
Well, we had a situation not too long ago where the person passed away, but they never found the body.
Oh, my.
And so that had to go in front of a judge.
Sure.
For the heirs to be able to sell that real estate.
Yeah. That's a dramatic one.
Wow, yeah, that's one you never forget.
No, right. And so, you know, these are the things that make our life interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to put it.
Mm-hmm. And so I just remembered that. And I mean, it was a widely publicized event. So there was no question, but.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a lot of LLCs popping up.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So that has a whole set of situations, whether it's on the buying side or the selling side.
Right.
And to me, there's no perfect situation. But these LLCs are creating a little drama.
They can create a little drama. It is an LLC or a corporation or even a limited partnership, which we don't like for its own reasons, but they can be very effective in certain situations, especially if you are owning a rental property or some sort of investment property, and especially a business property, something that's going to be used for business. So those would be really logical situations, and it would be recommended that you own the property in the name of an LLC or a corporation. But you're right, it can get a little messy, especially if you have more than one owner of those companies, you run into the same problems you would run into with, you know, what we were talking about before, like a tenancy in common type problem, where what happens if the two owners of the business are fighting? Now, that comes down to really kind of corporate law principles about what do the internal documents of the limited liability company say. And a lot of times, investors, especially real estate investors, are guilty of this. They form the entity with the state, but then they never do all of the other paperwork that's involved. You really should have what's called an operating agreement. And that operating agreement really governs who owns how many, you know, how much percentage of the company, who's entitled to what voting rights, who gets to be the tiebreaker vote if, you know, we
who
can't
agree. Who gets
to
sign the contracts.
Who gets to sign the
and
contracts.
And that's what we need to see. And they can't produce this documentation.
No, there's never any, not never, but very often they have been advised that they should have an LLC, so they went and did it on their own, which is also okay, but there's no backup documentation. And that is really where I, of course, advise that you get an attorney to help you with that, because you do need the additional backup documentation. Otherwise, you do put yourself at risk for liability, personal liability. You form the LLC to get rid of that personal liability, but if you don't follow all the rules and have all of the documents involved that you are supposed to have when you create an LLC, including a separate bank account and an employer identification number. Even if you don't have employees, you need a separate employer identification number. But if you don't follow some corporate formalities, not only can they get to you personally for your personal liability, you may also have an issue with other owners of the business because you don't have it outlined who can make what decisions and who gets to do what and how does the business act and behave.
Right. And we need to see that when contracts are involved.
Absolutely.
So, and it gets really messy and complicated. I'll leave it at that. But you just reminded me of a situation where someone was purchasing a property within the last 10 years, formed an LLC, entered the agreement of sale with the LLC, buying the property as the LLC. The deal fell through. The under the purchaser's line, it was the LLC's name, and of course they signed their individual name. They never set up a bank account in the LLC's name. Mm-hmm. The escrow deposit was written back to the LLC.
Of course.
Of course. Do you know this person? And my father, someone just passed away. I had a death in the family. It might have been your mother or your father, Pat. Because your parents passed after my father, so it was your side of the family. We were in New York. This person read me the riot act because I wouldn't write out the escrow check to him personally.
Oh.
Accused me of being all sorts of things, but I couldn't send it back to him personally.
Right.
Because the contract was signed as the LLC.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to send it back to who it's...
The name in the contract,
Who it belongs to. Technically, that's who it belongs to.
But you just mentioned there's all these things that they're supposed to do. They form the LLC, and then they didn't do that. And my hands were tied.
And that's the biggest thing that I would advise. It's literally the top of the list that I advise for real estate investors. They want to do everything themselves. However, and they're trying to cut costs, which I absolutely understand. However, to form an LLC is not just a... oh, we'll just go do that. There's a reason why there's all this paperwork involved. There's a reason why you have to follow the formalities. And that would be the one thing I would say is don't just stop at the forming of the LLC. You have to follow through and make sure you set it up. And I always tell my clients, behave like it's a business. Behave like you're the president of Microsoft. You know, the president of Microsoft doesn't go and not open a bank account and use his personal debit card and take money out of the business and put it right into his personal bank account or make decisions on behalf of the company without consulting any of the, the board of directors. So you have to behave like you're now the president of Microsoft if you own an LLC or a corporation.
How about the financial liability in these situations? And you have multiple partners, you have a shared mortgage, you have taxes, and you have repairs. In an operating agreement, it would lay it all out.
Yes.
Correct?
Yep. So those documents I've been talking about, one of them for an LLC would be called the operating agreement. It lays out all of the logistics of who does what, who's responsible for what, not only who gets to sign documents and who gets to, you know, how we vote on different things, but also how we pay for different things. Now, in order
to... Does it say in there who gets the phone call in the middle of the night when the heat doesn't work?
Well,
okay,
it
could. Well, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The bigger problem is when you've agreed that each of you is going to put money into the company bank account, and what happens if only one person does? That one person, in reality, does end up probably paying it and trying to get the other person to agree to pay their share. And if they don't pay their share, the real enforcement mechanism is to go to court. And no one wants to do that, no. Which is why knowing your business partners and really trusting your business partners.
Oh, but
is
in the beginning, we're all such good friends.
It's essential.
And it's such a good idea.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, no, it's not.
It's destroyed many friendships.
Absolutely.
And family relations, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen people who are outright deceitful and just terrible things.
Terrible things, yeah. All right. So let's go into boundary disputes. These are always so fun.
That fence is mine.
Fences, sheds, trees.
Yep.
They spark fights.
Yeah, they spark more fights than you know. We get so many calls for neighbor disputes because those are probably, I think, the hardest disputes because you have to continue to live next to that person. You have to continue to have some sort of relationship with them. And you see too many stories in the news where those relationships are just destroyed by things like, where does that person put their snow when they shovel their driveway? Or what happens if so-and-so doesn't trim their tree? Or they put their brand new fence up 1 foot onto my property. There are some major issues, and they can be very expensive to fix.
And nasty.
The fence in the back of our property, the line is straight. It's perfect. But the fence is actually diagonal, so it goes crooked. So it's half on our property, and then in the middle it goes onto to their property. But we're good with them. But we found that out.
Well, you're
good
with them until somebody else moves into their house.
Well, we won't say a word. but we had the survey done, and we found that out.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're buying a house, sometimes maybe do a survey. Spend the money.
Yeah. Well, we did, and our neighbor at the time said it was his fence, the whole entire fence. And we said, okay, but we knew it was.
But it wasn't.
But we didn't want any problems. All right, so this shed or fence or garage has been sitting on someone else's property for 50-some years, right? Mm-hmm. That's an encroachment, right?
100%. Even if it's been there for 30 minutes, that's an encroachment.
Okay.
Okay, you got to define an encroachment.
So an encroachment is just like you were talking about with the fence, where somebody's property, their shed or their fence, something like that, goes over onto your property, or some of your stuff goes onto their property. What happens then? You know, you've built this shed or you've built this fence, then what happens? That is an encroachment on someone else's property.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, when we did the fence on the other side, we made sure we came in.
Just enough.
Enough, right? And then when the neighbors put in a pool, we had to sign off on it because they came a little closer to our boundary line than they should. Mm-hmm.
Everyone,
they're allowed.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Right? Mm-hmm. But so, you know, these are the things. But sometimes people don't realize they have an encroachment.
Right. Usually it's the neighbor that tells them.
Right. And sometimes the neighbor's wrong, but last year we had a situation where someone had a window that went outside their house, like a bow window on the side of their house, and it was actually over on the other people's land.
Wow, that's a really close boundary line.
Yeah, it's really close. And so that portion of so they always thought it belonged to this property, but it didn't. And so the neighbor's son got involved. It was a whole big thing. We got it all worked out. But it was a little testy.
Those are all situations where an easement would be appropriate. Usually that's the cheapest and easiest way to handle it is the neighbor's, let's say the fence in the back one of the, if it's your fence, the neighbor agrees to sign an easement agreement that lets you, you know, we all recognize it's your fence, but it's my property, and we're going to let you keep your fence there. Then at least it's on record. Everybody's aware there's an encroachment, but we're letting you do it, and everything's legal and everything's okay. The problem is when the shed sits there for 50 years and nobody, you know, we knew the shed was encroaching. They knew the shed was encroaching, but nobody ever did anything about it. That would be a perfect situation for adverse possession. But like I said before, it's very expensive. It's a very long process. Probably the easier and less expensive option is either to do the easement or to, you can do a boundary line adjustment agreement, but that requires also a lot of money because you have to do a subdivision and you have to hire a surveyor and it's a whole thing.
Right. And that's provided you get along with the people.
That's, yes, that's
right.
Provided
and
you get
a
along
lot
with
of times
them.
Neighbors, right? So for whatever reason. So, and if, especially if the feud began before the encroachment was discovered, that's just going to add fuel to the fire.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that's when we say every situation is unique. So we look at the situation and we say, well, there's all these options. What makes sense in this situation?
We had a shed on a property that was on a line once, and the person painted it, had some sort of mural on it, but it faced the neighbor, and the neighbor didn't like the mural and wanted to do something about a mural. I mean, it's just the things that we get calls about. And then there was another time after 9/11, and I was on the news. They interviewed me because you were in New York after that tragedy. A woman called our office because she saw me on the news being interviewed, and she wanted me to know that the bushes at her neighbor's property were coming over into her property, and she wanted them cut.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see people have their priorities.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's...
It's never ending. That was important to her. That bothered her. And she needed it to be taken care of right then and there.
Mm, great.
You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Today we are with attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
Our phone number is 570-209-7901. And you can find us on the web at O'BrienLawPA.com or pinnacle-abstract.com.
And you are located?
We are on Kaiser Avenue in Taylor.
Thank you. Pat?
Yes, we have a beautiful three-bedroom ranch-style home at 1210 Monroe Avenue in Dunmore for $285,000. This lovely home sits on an 80 by 160 lot. It's got a large yard and a large, freshly painted rear deck. This home has a brand new kitchen, a new bath, all new windows, and water heater. It also has beautiful hardwood floors and has been freshly painted on the interior and the exterior. That's a beautiful ranch-style home with a built-in garage, a three-bedroom home, at 1210 Monroe Avenue in Dunmore for $285,000. And that's listed by Gail Lewis of our office.
Hold on for more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 The Talker. We'll be back after a short break. When considering to sell or buy a home, why choose Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate? Let me tell you why. 70% of home buyers settle for the first agent they meet, and many regret it. 90% of home sellers hire an agent, but was it the right choice? Don't have agent remorse. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and I've been in and around the real estate business for most of my life. And at Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, we've been selling real estate for half a century. But we do not do it halfway. You deserve better than average. Average doesn't help you. We know it's all about you and what you need. Century 21 is the number one in brand awareness, is the most recognized name in real estate, and is the most respected in the industry. In this market, if you dream big, you need to move fast. So it makes perfect sense to contact Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, 570-344-6724, and visit jready.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor.
We're back.
With attorney Michelle O'Brien, the O'Brien Law Group, and Pinnacle Abstract. Okay, so what happens if somebody doesn't like the Bushes and they're coming over onto their property, but they're really owned by the neighboring property? What if they just decide to go out and torch them, take them down, cut them? What happens? Anything?
Well,
what could happen?
People have tried everything. People call the police.
Right.
For, you know, saying it's a trespass. The police often don't do anything about it. Well, I don't know. I guess it depends what mood the police are in on that day. So very often they just go to the neighbor and they say, listen, like, can you get along here? Can you not do that? Can you cut the bushes? Can you whatever? Usually they'll try and mediate the dispute, and they don't usually do a lot. I mean, I suppose a real bad situation would, you know, warrant more. But usually the police come and try and mediate the problem. Some people sue each other. Very often neighbors are suing neighbors over these kinds of issues. And they're not made up issues, but there are definitely issues that neighbors are not able to work with each other on very often. But I would say, really, that although those are the discussions that we remember, you know, the neighbor disputes that we remember, very often it's just a neighbor going over to the other neighbor's house and saying, hey, this is a problem. How are we going to deal with it? And they address it together. So probably 99% of the problems are resolved just by talking to the neighbor and trying to figure out what's going to happen. But that 1% are really the ones that we remember.
Well, I have a story, as I have for this show and last show, I have a story. It involves a police officer. So he owned the property next to the property we were selling. He has quite the personality. I've known him for a long time. And so we list this property, and he immediately calls me. Yeah, Jackie, I own the house next door. First of all, the guy, the seller that we were representing, cut down all his bushes, right? So he says, I'm going to let that go. But you need to know that the parking pad that they paved in the front of the house is on my property. Yeah, so things got real interesting. So as a police officer, he let the fact go that
He
let the bushes go, but he was not letting the parking pad go.
Yeah.
He might be listening to the show.
He could be. It was funny.
He knows who he is.
Yeah, he knows. But it all worked out in the end. But yeah, so these things really do happen.
Absolutely. They happen every day.
Right. Thank you, Michelle, Attorney Michelle O'Brien, for being here with us. The O'Brien Law Group, Pinnacle Abstract. Once again, your contact information, please.
Phone number is 570-209-7901 or on the web at o'brienlawpa.com or pinnacle-abstract.com.
Thank you. Pat.
We have a stunning 6-bedroom, 2.5-bath home at 604 Marjorie Drive in the Swinnick section of Dunmore, for $389,000. This home sits on an 85-by-125 lot with a garage and off-street parking. This home has been renovated from the top to the bottom. It's got a new large kitchen with granite countertops. It has hardwood floors, ductless air conditioning. It's got a brand new deck. It's got updated electric and plumbing, new high-efficiency Rinnai heating and hot water system. This is a beautiful home. There's nothing left here to do except move in. That's a beautiful 6-bedroom, 2.5-bath home at 604 Marjorie Drive in Dunmore for $389,000, and that's listed by Nicole Clark of our office.
And we'd like to thank our special sponsor this week, Campus Jewelers. If you're looking to turn your gold, silver, or fine jewelry into top dollar, head to Campus Jewelers. They specialize in buying and selling large diamonds, estate and engagement pieces, gold, coins, watches, antiques, and more. They'll take broken chains, class rings, mismatched earrings. They buy it all. They guarantee the highest cash paid. They always buy, and they're always fair. All trades of value are considered. Visit Campus Jewelers at 476 Bennett Street in Luzerne. Call 570-288-1966 or go to campusjewelers.com. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5, Saturdays, 10 to 3. Remember, we're back on next Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate, and 94.3 The Talker.